The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, a very, very good morning to you. How are you?
Okay, so I'm not getting into the whole Lamington thing at all. Okay, absolutely nothing to say about the Lamington story. It was all good until this morning. But we've got some quite hectic and important things to discuss.
Yes, before we do, though, are Lamingtons a thing in Israel?
Not as such, Howard. I mean, you know.
I know coconut, desiccated coconut, of course, is a national pastime around Pesach time, but other than that, not really.
Even then, I have to say, you know, this notion of coconut and Pesach, I mean, they kind of do go together, but when it comes to Pesach in Israel, you almost don't notice that it's Pesach.
That is true. Because that is somehow, absolutely true.
The pastries and the cakes and the food that you get here is almost as good as during the year. Really, it is.
All right. So let's just start off with some fantastic news. A Russian parole committee yesterday voted to pardon Israeli Na'ama Yisachar.
Yes. So that was really good news. The parole commission has recommended, apparently it was a unanimous decision by this particular committee that sat to discuss the issue, and they voted to pardon her. And they signed a formal request during the day in order to send that up to the office of President Vladimir Putin. So it's expected that he would make the decision and effectively sign the pardon within the coming days, within just a few days, probably a week or so from now. So it seems as if, though, definitely the wheels are turning following, you know, the appeals that have been made by the Israeli government to the Russian government and to President Putin in particular, and of course that very important meeting that Putin held last week with Na'ama's mother. So it seems as if though he's going to be standing by his word. I'm guessing that this parole commission would have probably acted on some instruction, the way that they work. And so by the time it comes to the president's office, I'm hoping and expecting that it's almost like a rubber stamping exercise.
Sure.
He will approve it and that things will move along. We will wait to see what the price is that Israel will have to pay for this. It's not being made public at all. The Israeli government has been very quiet about what deal has been struck with the Russian government in order to make this happen. But I have no doubt that there is certainly something that the Russian government has extracted in return. It'll be interesting to know what that might be.
Appalling behavior, I think, on the Russian side. But the most important thing is for this young girl, actually, to return home to her family. I just shudder to think what the damage, the psychological and emotional damage, has been given the experience that she's been through.
Well, we did hear initially that she was really suffering. She didn't speak any Russian. The conditions were fairly basic in the prison where she was being held. Of course, winter in Moscow is never any fun, particularly if you're in prison. There were some further reports after that about a visit that was made to her by an international relief agency who found her condition to be okay, even quite good, getting along with, you know, other prisoners who were around her. And in fact, I think they even had some sort of a link. They were able to watch in the prison the meeting that Putin had with her mother last week. I got the impression that they
incredible.
Were either given a live broadcast or they were given some sort of video material to see that. And I think that really helped to improve Na'ama's general state of psychological health. She understood that, you know, her name was very much in the public domain in Israel, that a lot of work was being done to try to release her. And I think that that certainly sustained her while she's been in those really difficult conditions. But we'll be watching to see how things develop over the next week or so.
Yeah, absolutely. President Trump announced yesterday, after meeting with both Prime Minister Netanyahu and Benny Gantz, that he plans to unveil his Middle East peace plan today.
Yes.
Right. How practical is it, firstly, for him to take the step right now?
Well, I think what was interesting for me is that whereas I thought that Gantz was going to be in the first meeting and Netanyahu in the second meeting yesterday, it worked out that it was the opposite way around. But Prime Minister Netanyahu was in the first meeting with President Trump. Of course, they go back some way. They get along well. And that certainly was evident in the meeting that they held. And in fact, Prime Minister Netanyahu has remained in Washington overnight to be present today when the plan is unveiled at the White House. So he will be there when this plan is unveiled. Benny Gantz was the second meeting, and he came out saying that he would intend to execute the peace plan after the elections once Israel has a stable government in place. So clearly Benny Gantz was able also to sign up very easily to this peace plan once it was presented to him by President Trump. Their relationship not quite as close as the one with the Prime Minister, but nonetheless it seemed to go quite well for Benny Gantz, who's now already on his way back to Israel in order to participate in those hearings at the Knesset regarding Prime Minister Netanyahu's immunity or lack of immunity, as is expected to come out of the Knesset vote this week. So those were the meetings that were held yesterday. Both seem to be very friendly and both seem to go quite well. And then, of course, President Trump announced that he plans to unveil the peace plan to the public today. The Palestinian reaction was very, very interesting. Palestinian Authority President Mahmoud Abbas said, U.S. President Donald Trump is a dog and the son of a dog. And that was his response to this idea of the peace plan being unveiled today. And more than that, apparently he was contacted by a phone by the White House yesterday. So they did try to get him on the line in order to discuss the idea of releasing the peace plan. And he confirmed that they'd called him from Washington, that he did not pick up the phone. He said no, and he will continue to say no in order, you know, to any attempts to contact him by the U.S. administration. So this is not boding well at all for any practical relevance to this peace plan that is going to be released today, because as Nikki Haley said during her interview, and as other U.S. administration officials have said, without both parties cooperating on this issue, the peace plan can't really go anywhere. And the Palestinian Authority is clearly not cooperating at the moment and has no plans to cooperate on the peace plan. And even on the contrary, I read a story which said that the Palestinian Authority have instructed their security officials not to stop any of the citizens of the Palestinian Authority area in their desire to perhaps carry out any attacks against Israel. So this is really going to a place that we didn't want to go. I think it'll be interesting just to examine the peace plan and just to see how practical it is. On the one hand, I think that, you know, what would be good for the Palestinians is that it actually does give them a state of their own, which is the thing that they've really been desiring all along. Now, you know, if they're going to be granted that in the international community, I think it would be logical to accept that all of their demands that they have are not going to be accepted, that there's going to be some compromise required. Clearly, the act of establishing a Palestinian state along the borders with Israel, which is going to be internationally recognized, is something of a compromise for Israel, because it's not only about the land, but it's about the security. It's about the notion of having that state alongside the border that will be, a respected member of the international community. That for Israel is a huge step forward and potentially a compromise. There are a lot of people in Israel who feel that that would be the wrong thing to do. A lot of people are using Gaza as an example of why we would not want that to happen. So, you know, the fact that the Israeli government have accepted the fact that this is what the peace plan requires, I think is a major step forward. And one wonders whether Palestinians are not shooting themselves in the foot here and doing themselves damage by not agreeing to move forward on this basis. We kind of remember what happened in 1947 and 1948 when we had that very, very important UN partition plan, the Palestinian partition plan discussed at the United Nations. The Israeli side accepted the partition plan. The Arab side did not accept the partition plan. Israel today has a state which 70 years later has really come leaps and bounds. One wonders what might have been if the Arab side had accepted their state as was envisaged by the partition plan. You know, one has to think about what could have been and what might have been had that been accepted. And the question is whether they are not making another mistake this time around by rejecting out of hand the plan that's being put forward by the U.S. administration. Now, it's an interesting point. I know that they're not getting everything that they need, that they want, that they demand. That goes without saying. But by kicking the whole plan into touch by not accepting any elements of it, I just wonder whether they're not damaging themselves.
Have they actually seen it?
I'm not sure. I really don't know. I do know that there have been meetings between members of the U.S. administration and the Palestinian side. I know that there have been a number of attempts to have meetings which have been rejected by the Palestinian side. I expect the Palestinian side probably knows what's in this plan. They probably know, even if they haven't heard it directly from the U.S. administration. I expect that they've probably heard it from the power, you know, from around the grapevine. I expect they probably know what's there. It's sad for me that they're just rejecting it out of hand.
Yeah, I can't disagree with you. Surely there's, you know, even if you don't like all elements of it, then sit down and talk about it and try and find a way that that all the parties can be happy. Because surely, if this is reasonable on any level, it provides some basis to at least have a conversation. So to call somebody a dog and a son of a dog before you've even really sat down on something is, to me, doesn't seem like it's got the best intentions.
Doesn't seem logical at all. It doesn't seem logical. And of course, it feeds those who feel that the objectives of the Palestinians, the objective is not to get a state of their own at all, but to use that notion as a stepping stone towards the destruction of the Jewish state. Now, of course, there are a lot of people who feel that what they're really trying to do is anything possible to destroy the Jewish state. I have to say that in the past few years, the level of cooperation that we've seen, even if it's under some cloud, even if it's not exactly the most friendly cooperation, but there certainly has been cooperation between the Palestinian Authority and Israel on many, many fronts. And so that level of cooperation at least sends an indication that maybe they do have the desire to build a state of their own and to coexist peacefully with Israel. You know, it kind of questions those people who have said, look, you know, Gaza is the example that we need to show that when you try to grant them something that they really want, that they've been demanding for years and years and years and years, you give it to them effectively on a golden platter. What they do is they use that to demand the next thing, to attack Israel, to try to destroy Israel. So every little bit that you'll give them will just simply be another stepping stone along the path that they're treading towards the destruction of Israel. There is a notion, you know, there are many people who believe that. And certainly this reaction is going to feed those theories even further.
And in fact, Mervyn asking or mentioning Nikki Haley, we spoke about that a little bit earlier today, that she's giving the message, or she's sending the message to the Palestinian Authority, that this is their last opportunity, this is their last chance. And I think the way I understand that is that that is a very much a veiled or unveiled threat to say, if you don't sit down and have this conversation and try and reach something, you know, the gloves are off.
Absolutely. I think that that's exactly the message that we've got from Nikki Haley's comments.
Yeah, really, really interesting indeed. I did want to talk about the 800 cyber attacks. We are unfortunately out of time. Maybe let's hold that until tomorrow. But one of the topics that I did want to chat to Anthony about is 800 cyber attacks were carried out against the system at Ben Gurion Airport last night when the foreign leaders were arriving in Israel. Any idea, just even though we'll hold it over, any idea who was responsible for that?
There are some countries that have been mentioned as the source of these attacks. There's a group of four or five countries who were the source of these attacks. The good news, of course, is that Ben Gurion Airport held up in spite of this really concerted attempt to bring the systems down. Perhaps we'll chat about that a little tomorrow.
Absolutely right. It is 8 o'clock. Anthony Reich, thank you as always. Tomorrow, of course, will be quite interesting if that plan has been revealed and we'll be able to get a little bit more detail around it. It is 8 o'clock. I'm Howard Feldman. Good morning.